Good morning. I know Amos will do his own welcome, but I just wanted to bring you some news. I'm delighted to say that our organist Hannah and her husband Ray brought a baby girl into the world on Thursday afternoon. Her name is Ada Chan. They are now home and both mum and baby are doing well. I'd just like to just say a short prayer for them all, so let us pray. Father God, we thank you for Ada's safe arrival. We pray that as she grows, you will watch and protect her. We pray for Hannah and Ray as they navigate this new journey of parenthood. Bless them all with love and grace. In your precious name, amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Good morning, church. A very, very warm welcome to you all here in Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. And welcome to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Can I also welcome our brothers and sisters who are worshiping with us via Zoom and those who will be listening to our church service from our website afterwards. After service, you are invited to join us in our church hall to my left for teas and coffees. Sometimes we also have cakes, biscuits, and other niceties of life. And there we spend time talking to one another. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first hymn 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. We thank you for your faithfulness, for leading us through the night and bringing us to the light of a new day. As we gather in worship, we are reminded of your covenant with Abraham, a promise of faithfulness and belonging that extends to us through the ages. We remember the words of Jesus in Mark 10, 13 to 16, where he welcomed the little children, teaching us to come to you with open hearts and humble spirits. Today we give thanks for the events of the week that has ended, particularly for the elections in the United Kingdom and the joy and camaraderie found in watching football. These moments of civic duty and leisure remind us of your presence in every aspect of our lives. As we gather in worship, we ask for the Holy Spirit to move among us, filling this place with your presence. May our hearts be open to your word, our minds receptive to your teachings, and our spirits lifted by your grace. Bless our time of fellowship afterward as we share in teas and coffees in our church hall, strengthening the bonds of our community. Merciful God, we come before you acknowledging our sins and shortcomings. In Genesis 17, 9 to 14, you called Abraham and his descendants to keep your covenant. And in our own lives, we have often failed to live up to your holy standards. We have sinned against you and against our neighbors in what we have done and in what we have failed to do. For the times we have spoken harsh words or acted out of anger, forgive us, Lord. For the times we have neglected to show kindness or turned away from those in need, forgive us, Lord. For the ways we have prioritized our desires over your will, forgive us, Lord. Help us to remember the words of Jesus who welcomed the children and taught us to come to you with a childlike faith. Grant us the humility to admit our faults and the courage to seek reconciliation. Wash us clean by your grace. Renew our hearts and guide us in your ways. Thank you, Lord, for your unending mercy and love. As we confess our sins, we trust in your promise of forgiveness and new beginnings. Lead us forward as a community bound by your love and committed to living out your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's our next hymn, 641.
Thank you.
morning, children. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you today? Are you well? Is it a beautiful day? I saw some sunshine outside. Nice day, but it seems it's gone. What have you been up to this week? Yes, Michaela? You've been packing. Oh, do you know Michaela is going back to Germany? Do you know that? This is our last Sunday. That's sad for us. We are going to miss you, Michaela. What have you been up to? Tomorrow you are going camping. Where to? You are not sure. Okay. We will remember by the end of our talk. So what have you been up to? What plans do you have for the holidays? Any plans? Ariel, do you have a plan? You've forgotten where we are going. Okay, I'll remind you later on. Now, I want to begin again with a question. Have you ever had a favorite toy that you played with until it was almost useless? I mean, you thought it had no use again. Too old. Can you remember? Favorite toy. You can't remember. All your toys are new ones. Do you have any old toys? Do you have old toys? You have old toys. Okay. So I want you to imagine that you had this toy which had been bought for you maybe 5 years ago or 3 years ago, and it's really old and probably somewhere gathering dust. And then suddenly you find that it has become new. It's like magic, isn't it? That's transformed into a new toy. How would you feel about that? Yes, Michael. Okay, maybe a bit sad because you forgot about it. Yes, good answer. How would you feel about that? Something old that suddenly becomes new. Yes, Eric. You feel happy because you've now got a new toy, even though you don't know what magic has been performed on that toy. But you'll be happy because it's now new. Now, there is something Jesus says about the old things and the new things. And this is in the area of baptism. And he says, when we are baptized, it is as if we have moved from the old to the new. Our old bodies are replaced by new ones. So baptism is a rite which is performed to renew us. In baptism, we are renewed. Now, in some churches, they actually dip people inside water. And it is believed that when you are dipped inside water, you die to your sins, or you leave that your old body, and when you come out of the water, you become something completely new. And the lesson, especially from the book of Romans, is that at some point in our lives, we must leave the old and embrace the new. So when we come to Christ, we are leaving the old selves, which are not the ones that Christ gives us, because Christ gives us a new life. So in baptism, we come anew to Christ, we renew ourselves. There is that kind of change. And it is different from an old toy becoming a new one. No, it's a spiritual exercise. How many of you have been baptized? How many of you have been baptized? Just two. So baptism is a very important aspect of our Christian journey. And we learn that in baptism, we become a new creation in Christ. And when we become new, there are things we must not do. We have to be good children. We have to be kind. We have to be compassionate. We have to be loving. We have to do our homework. We have to go to bed in good time when we are asked to go to bed. We have to help in house chores. And we have to do all those things that God requires of us. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and for our lives. And we thank you especially for our children. As young as they are, O Father, we know that you can open their hearts and their minds to learn from you and to grow in the faith. We thank you for the concept of transformation, that we can become new in Christ. Bring us that transformation in different areas of our lives, and may we continue to serve you without fear. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme, we are marching in the light of God, 516.
Our first reading today is from Genesis chapter 17, reading from verse 9. Genesis 17 at verse 9. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And the second reading is from Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our next hymn is My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, as we gather in your presence to reflect from your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit open our hearts and our minds. May we truly understand and in understanding believe. Help us to walk in full faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my theme for this sermon is From Death to Life, the Transforming Power of Resurrection. From Death to Life, the Transforming Power of Resurrection. And let me begin by saying that today is not Easter Sunday. It's not Resurrection Sunday. But the message of Easter or the resurrection brings hope to us both now and for the future. I read about a man who took a vacation to Israel with his wife and mother-in-law. During their time in the Holy Land, his mother-in-law unexpectedly passed away. The following day, the husband met with the local undertaker to discuss funeral plans. In cases like these, there are a couple of options to choose from, the undertaker explained. You can ship the body home for £5,000, or you can bury her in the Holy Land for just £150. The man took a minute to think about it and then announced his decision to ship her home. The undertaker, intrigued by his decision, said, "That's an interesting choice. Can I ask why you would pay £5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when you can easily bury her here for £150? The man promptly replied, "About 2,000 years ago, a man died and was buried here. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and I can't take that chance." Friends, this story underscores the widespread awareness of the power of Jesus' resurrection. However, the reality is that Jesus' resurrection is more than just a story. It was and still is the most important and significant event in human history. The best part is that we can know with confidence that as Christians, we will be resurrected and spend eternity with Jesus. In the words of the theologian N.T. Wright, the resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. And this quote resonates deeply with our theme, emphasizing that the resurrection is not just an event to be celebrated, but a transformative reality that empowers us to live out our faith in tangible ways in a world that often brings enormous challenges to our lives. Consider the story of a young woman named Mary. She had always dreamt of becoming a musician. From a young age, her fingers danced effortlessly across the piano keys, weaving melodies that captured the hearts of all who listened. But life, as it often does, threw its challenges at her. A tragic accident left her unable to play, and with it, her dreams seemed shattered. In the face of such despair, Mary felt lost, her world darkened by the challenges of life. Yet it was in this darkness that Mary encountered something extraordinary. She found solace in her faith, discovering a renewed purpose in mentoring young musicians, sharing her passion and knowledge. Through this new path, Mary experienced a resurrection of sorts, a rebirth into a new life filled with hope and fulfillment. Mary's story mirrors our own spiritual journeys. We live in a world filled with uncertainties, trials, and tribulations that can leave us feeling desolate and defeated. Yet it is precisely in these moments of despair that we are invited to embrace the transformative power of Christ. Through his resurrection, we too can find new life, purpose, and hope, no matter the challenges we face. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 6, 3 to 11 resounds with the exultant voice of the Apostle Paul, declaring the triumph of Christ's resurrection. This passage invites us to explore the vivid and transformative metaphors of Easter, being baptized into Christ's death, being buried with him, and being united with him in his resurrection. These images are not just theological concepts, they are lifelines of hope in the midst of our darkest days. In a world beset by political turmoil, sickness, economic meltdown, wars, and bereavement, the resurrection of Christ speaks a powerful word of hope and renewal. It tells us that death and despair do not have the final say. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too can walk in newness of life. This promise is not just for the future. It is for now, for today, in our present struggles. I don't know exactly what brought you to church this morning or the burdens that you carry. Maybe it is a strained relationship with a relative or friend that keeps you awake at night. Perhaps it is a mistake you have made, a conflict you have been dragged into, or a health issue that never seems to improve, leaving you exhausted and worried. Maybe it is an addiction, or maybe you have recently lost someone who was an anchor in your life, and you wonder how life would be without this very significant person. Family disagreements might weigh heavily on your heart, despite all the good you try to do. Or maybe you are struggling with financial hardships, a rebellious spouse, a wayward children. You might be feeling overwhelmed by the prospect of an uncertain future, the world's chaos, or the anxiety of waiting for important news that never seems to come. These burdens can make you feel like a fugitive, constantly running from peace and happiness. But Jesus Christ offers us liberation and a fresh beginning. Whatever is causing you to feel overwhelmed or hopeless, remember that with Jesus we are given a new start. As Romans 6:4 reminds us, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Through baptism, we are not just washed with water. We are renewed and cleansed from all that weighs us down. With Jesus Christ by our side, we can embrace a life full of joy, love, and hope. He helps us to find peace in the midst of chaos, and light in our darkest moments. Let us hold fast to his promise of life from death, of freedom from bondage, and of light in the midst of darkness. And this truth is powerfully illustrated in a story from history. In 1799, the armies of Napoleon appeared on the heights above the town of Feldkirch in Austria. It was Easter Day, And the rays of the rising sun glittered on the weapons of the French as they appeared drawn up on the hills to the west of the town. The town council was hastily called together to consult what was to be done. After much discussion, the dean of the church rose and said, "My brothers, it is Easter Day. We have been reckoning our own strength, and that fails. Let us turn to God. Ring the bells and have service as usual, and leave the matter in God's hands." They agreed to do as he said. Then from the church towers in Feldkirch, there rang out joyous peals in honor of the resurrection, and the streets filled with worshippers hastening to the church. The French heard the sudden ringing of the joy bells with surprise and alarm. They concluded that the Austrian army had arrived to relieve the place, so they hastily fled, and before the bells had ceased ringing, not a Frenchman was to be seen. This story reminds us that even in the face of overwhelming odds, the power of the resurrection brings hope and transformation. The bells that rang out that Easter morning were a testament to the town's faith and trust in God. Their hope and belief in the power of the resurrection drove away their fears and also their enemies. As we leave today, let us carry this message of hope and renewal with us. No matter what dark places we find ourselves in, no matter the struggles we face, the resurrection of Christ assures us that there is always a new dawn. God's transformative power is at work, providing liberation and freedom. So let us ring the bells of our hearts with joy and faith, knowing that in Christ we have the promise of a new life. Let this hope empower us to face our challenges with courage, to support one another in love, and to spread the light of Christ in a world that desperately needs it. Go forth in hope, my friends, for in the resurrection of Christ we find that we too are more than conquerors through Christ, who strengthens us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of new life in Christ. Help us to embrace the transformative power of his resurrection in our daily lives. Grant us the strength to overcome our trials and the grace to walk in newness of life. May we be a light to others, sharing the hope and renewal we have found in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We sing again hymn 738, "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken."
Thank you.
us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. As we present these offerings to you, we acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from your generous hand. We dedicate these gifts to your service, asking that you use them to further your kingdom here on earth. We come before you in humble adoration, grateful for the service that has taken place and for the message of hope that strengthens us in our times of despair. We thank you for the assurance that through Christ's resurrection we can experience new life and renewed purpose. We lift up in prayer the United Kingdom and the recent elections that have brought a new government to Westminster. We pray for the new Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, and his team, asking that you grant them wisdom and justice as they lead. May their decisions reflect your will and bring peace and prosperity to the nation. We pray for the Church, especially the Church of Scotland and its ongoing work of mission and ministry. Bless all those who hold offices within the Church, that they may make the right decisions to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. Help us to stand firm in our faith and not compromise our beliefs for secular standards. Lord, we lift up those who are sick, downcast, bereaved, lonely, infirm, and aging. Bring your healing and comfort to those in need. We pray especially for those living in care homes, that they may find comfort and happiness through the care and compassion of those who look after them. We remember before you the souls of those who have recently passed on to glory. And we think especially of those who are near and dear to us as we name them in the silence of our hearts. Father, we give thanks for the assurance that we too will be resurrected and spend eternity with you. Comfort those who mourn with the hope of the resurrection. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to move among us as we worship together as a church. Bless our time of fellowship afterwards in our church hall, and may our interactions reflect your love and your grace. Dear Father, forgive us for the ways we have sinned against you and against others, in all that we have done and in all that we failed to do. Grant us your mercy and help us to live lives that honor you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand and together let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us bring this service to its close as we sing 512. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.